Well, you can't.
World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
I got a runny nose. Michelle, I got a runny nose. I'm going to have to, if I was just out playing ball or mowing the grass or something, I just snort it out. You know what I'm talking about? I don't have a Kleenex down there, so Michelle will get me one. Other than that, feeling great here on the 21st day of 2025. How can that be? Show number 2,351. That is amazing, isn't it? Huh? 2,351 shows. And I came to, I'm going to get into the Ephesians a little bit today, Trent. If you're still out there hanging on, want me to, oh, my sweetheart. I don't need them all. Let me just grab a couple of them. Nah, I don't need them all down there. Here. Look at that. I'll need them someplace. She came down on the multi-million dollar, what do you call it, escalator, and down here into this beautiful multi-million dollar studio and brought me some Kleenexes. So if I got blow my nose every once in a while, please bear with me. Spencer, you're getting, I don't know why you aren't getting that. That's all that stuff. Send yourself. I'm talking. He's messing with my computer right now. So we're going to dive into it a little bit. We're going to do communion. Joe got up bright and early for us to do communion. You know, I got a real, can I confess to you? Yeah, I can confess. It's not a confession, really. I continue to be amazed by the Holy Spirit. And I think really a lot of the problems that we have is a lot of us, see, this is going to sound arrogant. I don't want it to sound arrogant. We're not trained to hear it. In my life, the Holy Spirit asks questions. That's how I hear it. He asks questions. And I take time to listen. So what was that? He asked me a question for a purpose. And it's only through the asking of the question and then the investigation of the question to find the answer that you run into all kinds of stuff. Oh, my goodness, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. And one of the worst things that's happened to us, in my not so humble opinion, is somewhere along the line, we have been trained that you have to have some man stand in the pulpit and tell you what the Bible says. And today, in this day and age in which we live, with the internet and the information out there available to us, the Bible says we're without excuse, man. We are without excuse. And I don't know how long, I'm talking to me now. I'm not talking to you, I'm talking to me. How long am I going to continue to believe some things that they taught me simply because it was tradition? Simply because my grandma believed it and she taught it to my mom and then my mom taught it to me or whatever else. You go to some church and some pastor believes this type of theology. And so he teaches you this type of theology. And so you become really, really good at this, but it's broad spectrum. It's more than just one guy's got it all right. And I don't know about you. I was in church my whole life. Nobody ever told me, look it up. Nobody ever said, thank God for the internet, because now you can look it up. And then you got to be careful, because when you get on the internet and you look it up, you get 1,000 different things, right? Because the Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know, it's going to set you free. But there's a sifting that goes on. The Bible tells us that evil men have crept in unaware and changed the truth of God into a lie, worshiped and served the creature more than the creation more than the creature. That's not Ephesians. Where is that? Evil men. That's Jude. Jude 1, Johnny. Pull that up there real quick. I haven't forgot you out there, Joe. I haven't forgot you with the communion. Folks, get your communion ready. Book of Jude, who, by the way, let me throw this theology in somebody's lap. He was the half-brother of Jesus. If he's the half-brother of Jesus, can somebody tell me how Mary was ever virgin? Beloved, when I gave all diligence unto you to write the common salvation needful to me to write and exhort you that you have to earnestly contend for the faith. Individually, we have to earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered to the saints. Why? Because there are certain men who crept in. Now, think about when he's writing this. Remember when he's writing this? Long time ago, before the internet, before books, really, right? Excuse me. What does he say? Certain men who crept in unaware, who were before of old ordained. What? Hey, Johnny, ordained. What's that word mean? I haven't forgotten you out there, Joe. Hang on. Ordained. Ordained. Like a minister gets ordained. Ordained. Appointed. Instituted. Established. Invested with ministerial or pastoral functions. Settled. I've been appointed. Instituted. Established. Okay, so evil men. Go back, Johnny. Evil men had crept in unaware. Huh? Who were before of old ordained, chosen, picked for to this kind of ungodly men. They were, I hate to tell you this, they were ordained. The question is, who ordained them? Turning the grace of God, they were ungodly men. By the way, you can be a godly man and give ungodly counsel. Oh, that was, Benny, that was a boom. You can be a godly man and give ungodly counsel.
Boom.
Thank you, Benny. And what those ungodly men, hey, folks, just look, you see it, you look around and you ask yourself this, if the modern evangelical fish, name it, claim it, smoke machines, is that what Jesus had in mind, you think? Do you think that's what he had in mind in regards to Christianity? I don't know, man. I don't know. And who's the guy that started that name it, claim it stuff? What was that guy's name? Started a school down there, Oral Roberts, right? Huh? What'd they call that? What kind of faith was that? Come on, somebody help me out here. Word of faith movement, word of faith. Well, that'd be evil men creeping in unaware, wouldn't it? Who were before ordained to this kind. They were chosen to do this. The question is, who chose them? Ungodly men. Was Oral Roberts an ungodly man? I think we probably all were at one time. I'm not here to say Oral Roberts is ungodly, but I got to tell you something. He started an ungodly gospel. You can argue with me if you want to. The name it, claim it, blab it and grab it, huh? Wasn't he the originator of that? Well, of course he wasn't the originator, but in modern, huh? What was her name? Tammy Faye? Tammy Faye? Did Tammy Faye really love the Lord? Does she really love? Well, she probably does. But she could be, what? She could be giving us a false doctrine. Huh? She could be. And so we look about the spectrum, across the spectrum of the stream of consciousness. I've forgotten you, Joe. Hang on. Went to an event last night. My sweet wife, volunteers in a ministry. She volunteers in a ministry here in Licking County. I won't say the name. I'm not ashamed to say it. But anyway, it's a mercy ministry. It services the poor and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's all good. It's all good. So we went to their annual banquet last night, and they'd asked me to do the closing prayer. I'm thinking, oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Help me say what you want me to say, not what I want to say. Because I'm sure, but they probably, God bless the girl, Sheila, who invited me to do it. She's brave. She listens. Sheila, if you're listening this morning, thank you, sweetheart. Because you know where my heart is, right, folks? Mercy ministry is great, and it's important. But they're cutting off the dingers of little boys and girls. They're teaching little kids atheism in our schools. I'm all for mercy, man. I'm all for that. I'm all for it. So I was worried about, Lord, let me pray what you want me to pray, not what I want to pray. You with me? Anyway, it went okay. I did good. But see, there's so many different. Look, friends, are you looking at me? I don't want a sissy ministry. I don't want to be a sissy. I don't want to be a sissy Christian. Can somebody say amen out there? Is it okay for some of us somewhere not to have to be sissy Christians? I don't want to be one.
Amen.
And I believe that for the most part, sissy Christianity draws, are you ready? I got to, Lord, I have to say it. Okay, well, it draws women. Sissy Christianity. By sissy, I mean nose wiping, feeding the poor, all of it good. Don't hear what I'm not saying. It's all good. But if all you do is wipe noses, if all we do collectively is wipe noses, wouldn't it be better to teach them how to not get a cold rather than wipe their nose? Wouldn't it be better to teach them how to not fall into poverty rather than feed them when they are? So evil men have crept in unaware. That's the way I see it. Evil men, because why? Because for the most part, the Bible says that the Lord, pray that the Lord would give you a spirit of wisdom. Where is that, Randy? Somebody smart out there. Johnny, you're not smart enough to figure it out. Give you a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation in the knowledge of, that might be Ephesians 1. That could be Ephesians 1. And by the way, that's the key to the whole thing. Huh? That's the key to the whole thing. That God giving you a spirit of wisdom and a spirit of revelation, a revealing in the knowledge of him. Ephesians 1, are you kidding me? Huh? I'm going to get into that in a second. I'll shut up. I'm going to shut up, man. I'm going to let Joe come in and lead us in communion here this morning. Thank you, Joe. By the way, we need to pray right now for Mark Mattingly. Mark's back in the hospital and just fighting. We ask you, Lord, just touch Mark. God, he's been through it, Lord. You know it. And you said healing's the children's bread. We just pray that you would touch him right now and heal him, top of his head to the soles of his feet. And Lord, bring the balm of Gilead to his family, who certainly are affected by it as well. And help us to be able to do more than just say, be filled and be warmed. We'll pray for you, Mark. See you later. Lord, show us how we can help. Work through us in Jesus' name. Amen. And Keith Enderly did, in fact, pass. I never really knew Keith, although I went and visited him in the hospital. I don't even know if he was there, if he knew I was there, but he did pass. I know Keith was close to a lot of you. So we had one of my brother's best friends, maybe best friend. Boom, yesterday. Boom. Boom. You know what question I want to ask all the time? I got to be careful when I hear somebody going, boom. What's the first question you have in your brain, folks? What's the first question you ask? You heard, oh, Joe went, boom. What? Yeah,
Did he get the jab?
Did he take the jab? Are we allowed to ask that? And here's the sad part. Why do I ask it after it happened? After he went, boom. Now, we know this. People have always died from heart attacks. That kind of stuff's always happened. Are you guys noticing a lot of booms? Boom. And are we still to the point where we believe that it's a coinkydink? Are we beginning to understand that really that was a death jab and it was done on purpose? That it was developed by the Department of Defense? Oh, I won't go there this morning. Joe, bring, come on in here, Joe. Lead us in communion here, Lord. Joe, if you would. I'll shut up.
Yes, Coach, you're getting out there on the ice right now.
I am, brother. It's cold here. It's cold and icy here. That's why.
It could be some warm undercurrents. So you might break into
water. Pardon me if I cough in your ear. I don't have a cough button.
Well, good morning, everybody. Today's reading is John 6, 32 to 40. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven.
Joe, that'll preach, brother. If Moses didn't give him bread from heaven, how about that 6-foot icicle stand in your pulpit? Is he giving you bread from heaven? Keep going, Joe.
For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread.
More, baby, give us more, Lord.
And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst.
By the way, he's speaking to your spirit, man, not talking to your physical body. He doesn't want you to be hungry. He doesn't want you to be thirsty, but he's speaking to your spirit, man. Go ahead, Joe.
But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out.
Wow.
For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me.
Amen. Wow. Wow. Well, we'd do pretty good just to do that, wouldn't we, Joe? We could just get that one figured out.
Yeah. Yeah. You'd be in a league of your own. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing.
Wow.
But should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. Mm. And I will raise him up at the last
day. Wow, 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 wow.
I guess that's why they call it good news.
I guess it is. It's good. It ain't bad news. It's good news. That's right.
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in gratitude, with gratitude in our hearts for this good news that we have just read. That we who believe on our Lord Jesus Christ will be raised up on the last day, that he won't lose anything. And if we are of him, we are with him. And we still don't understand how the creator of the universe and all things, who is made of love, could give his own begotten Son to the world. We just can't comprehend that, Lord. But we are grateful. And we also know at some level we must be worthy, otherwise the sacrifice would not have been made for our sakes. But we don't feel worthy. But we are grateful. And Lord, we're grateful for this unconventional congregation that uses today's amazing, miraculous technologies to allow us from all parts of this great nation you have put us in, and a few other parts of the world sometimes, to join together, to worship, to learn, to understand, to help share knowledge so that a few more may not fall into the trap of my people die because my people perish because of lack of knowledge. We're hoping that this show reaches some and increases their knowledge and reaches some and lets them be aware of our Lord Jesus Christ when they would not have been otherwise. So, Lord, please use this broadcast as you will to the benefit of all, and help us remember that we are ambassadors of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as Paul said, to pray without sinking and without ceasing, and to take captive every thought, help us to continually keep that communication with God going with prayer, and to take captive every thought so that we can be better ambassadors for our Lord Jesus Christ, because we know that our emotions, and if we react to our emotions, often lead us down the wrong path. Not always, but often. And so, Lord, we remember again in our prayers those in this body here who are unwell, in body or spirit. Please let them remember that this is the meal that heals, that Isaiah 53:5, that by his stripes we are healed, that those aren't just words, those are truths. But as the Lord said to the woman with the issue of blood, woman, thy faith has made thee whole. Let us have the faith so that we can receive what God has for us, what he's done for us, what he's purchased for us. With that debit card 2,000 years ago, our healing is paid for. We need just to receive it, Lord. And we asked, we remember also those in Los Angeles and in North Carolina and other places hit by disaster, and also those being hit by the cold. Please give them whatever resources they need. Give them the faith. Give them warmth. Give them shelter from the rain or snow. And give them hope, Lord, that leads to faith. And give them love, Lord. Let them know that they are loved. And we bless this bread and this drink representing the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ as we take this communion. And we ask you to forgive us of our sins and transgressions, and let us come cleansed into your sight in this holy moment. In Jesus' name, we pray with gratitude. Amen.
Amen.
And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thanks, Joe.
You're welcome, sir.
I got a lot to say, man. I got a lot to say. A lot to say. Evil men crept in unaware. Change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator. Amen. Amen. So I've been struggling. Not struggling. Not the right word. I couldn't get a release from the Holy Spirit on Ephesians 1, and I got it this morning. And so Trent's been asking me about that. So if we could, I'm going to do something really kind of unusual here, friends. I was asking the Lord, how this kind of confusing. Vision 1, that's kind of confusing. What's going on here? And then the Holy Spirit revealed to me, not like I'm something special. You have not because you ask not. What's this mean? What's this mean? Okay, folks, it's important anytime you read the scriptures. By the way, I'm not a theologian. I haven't been to cemetery. I'm not. But I can read and I can think. And I have the Holy Spirit. And I also have the internet, which will a lot of times guide you to truth. Now be careful. You can find a lot of truth in the internet. And so I said, what's going on here with Ephesians 1? Because I started reading down through it. And I read it again and read it again and read it again. And trying to, Lord, what's the message here? And then all of a sudden, I saw it. See, context and environment is really, really important. It's really important. So Paul's writing the letter to the Ephesians 2,000 years ago. He was writing a letter to these new group of believers who were coming out of Judaism. And even though we can take the truths of Ephesians and apply it to our lives today, we can always do that. The Bible's always applicable, but you can't take it out of context. So what Paul's doing in Ephesians is explaining to the Ephesians the spiritual thing that's happening to them. Remember what they came out of. They came out of Judaism. They came out of following rules and regulations and all that kind of stuff. And he's trying to explain to them, this is different. This is a new covenant. And so we have to, I believe, as we read this, even though the truths are there, we have to read that in that context of who it is he's speaking to. So as we read Ephesians 1, and I'm going to do something really crazy, Johnny. I want you to pull up the Message Bible. Click on it. And I want you all to know that when I go to the Message Bible, it's not because I think this is the Word of God, but it is a modern way of talking and thinking that sometimes makes the Scriptures clear. You with me on that, folks? Because people go, so I'm not going to turn it in. Well, hell, he reads out of the Message Bible. No, I don't do that. No, I don't. But if the Message Bible makes things clear to me, I do. Makes it a little clear. So I want you, as I'm going to read down through this real quickly, as we go through this quickly, remember his audience. He's speaking to a bunch of people who are coming out of Judaism, legalism. They're coming out of it. He's trying to explain to them the gospel. I, Paul, am under God's plan as an apostle, special agent of Christ Jesus, writing to your faithful believers in Ephesus. I greet you with the grace and peace poured into our lives by God our Father and our Master Jesus Christ. Okay, folks, this is the Message Bible. It's not the real Bible. Relax. And he's explaining to them the gospel. How blessed is God and what a blessing he is. He's the father of our master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to high places of blessing in him. And long before he laid down his foundation, he had us in mind. He's talking to these Jews. He had settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made whole and holy by his love. Long, long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family through Jesus Christ. Oh, what pleasure he took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of his lavish gift giving by the hand of his beloved son. Now look, this applies to today, but this wasn't written to us today. It is. You with me? Context. Who's the audience? He's explaining to them the gospel. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, his blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're free people, free of penalties and punishments chalked up by all of our misdeeds, and not just free either, abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on his plans. He took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in him. Everything in deepest heaven, everything on planet Earth. See, he's connecting heaven and earth. He's connecting it all. It's in Christ. He's explaining the gospel. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. And long before we heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us. He had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he's working out in everything and everyone. It's in Christ that you, once you heard the truth and believed it, boy, that applies today, right? This message of salvation, you found yourself home free, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. This down payment from God is the first installment on what's coming, a reminder that we'll get everything God has planned for us, a praising and glorious life. Are you following me, folks? Follow me? He's talking to a group of people about Christ, the gospel. These are Jews, Old Testament Jews. That's why when I heard of your solid trust in the Master, new believers, and your outpouring of love to all the followers of Jesus, I couldn't stop thanking God. Finally, we got some more folks. He's saying, thank every time I prayed, I thought of you guys, and I give thanks. But I do more than thank. I ask. Ask the God of our Master Jesus Christ, God of glory, to make you intelligent and discerning and knowing him personally. They're coming out of a system where they had to go to the priest. I'm sorry, the Sadducees and the Seraphim. No, you get to know him personally now. Your eyes are focused and clear so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers. Oh, the other extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless strength. Do you see what he's laying out here for him? These guys are coming out old dead Judaism. He's saying, oh, no, there's a New Testament, man. And all this energy issues from Christ. Christ, God raised him from the dead, set him on a throne in deep heaven in charge of running the universe. Everything from galaxies to governments, no name, no power, exempt from his rule. And not just for the time being, but forever. He is in charge of it all. He has the final word on everything. He's trying to introduce the Son of God to a bunch of Jewish believers. At the center of all this, Christ rules the church. The church, you see, is not peripheral to the world. The world is peripheral to the church. The church is Christ's body. Uh-oh, I thought we were his bride. Stop, coach. The church is Christ's body, which he speaks and acts, by which he fills everything with his presence. Are you getting the flow here? Are you getting the flow? Even though this is appropriate today, he's talking to people who are coming out of Judaism. Scroll down, Spence. Or that's not Spence, sorry. Okay, now let's do this. Let's go to Ephesians 2. Because Ephesians 2 is set up by Ephesians 1. Who's he talking to? People who've come out of Judaism. And he's introducing a new Messiah and a new testament to them. And he's explaining it. Yes, it applies to us today, but this is a historic explanation of non-believers. Ephesians 2, are we there? I don't know how we got in Galatians. There we go. I want it in the Message Bible, though. Put it in the Message. So it's a continuation. It's a continuation. This isn't a new chapter. They make chapters in the Bible so we know how to read them, but it's still the same thought, all right? He's talking about this new covenant, this new relationship with God, yada, yada, yada. Here's what you've come into. And it wasn't so long ago that you were mired in that old stagnant life of sin. You were trapped in that Old Testament. You couldn't get out of it. You let the world, which doesn't know the first thing about living, tell you how to live. Boy, this is good, isn't it? It's still true today, by the way. You let the world tell you how to live. You filled your lungs with polluted unbelief and then exhaled disobedience. We all did it. All of us doing what we felt like doing. When we felt like doing it. All of us in the same boat. Pre-Christ. It's a wonder God didn't lose his temper and do away with a whole bunch of us. Instead, his immense in mercy and with incredible love, he embraced us. He took our sin-dead lives and made us alive. He's speaking to a bunch of old dead Jews. He did all of this on his own with no help from us. And then he picked us up and set us down in the highest heaven in company with Jesus, our Messiah. That's why I said the other day, the kingdom is within you. It isn't someplace you're going. Right there it is. Picked us up and set us down in the highest heaven in company with Jesus. Right now. Right now. The kingdom is within me. Now God has us where he wants us. Who's he talking to? These old dead Jews. With all the time in the world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Jesus Christ. Saying saving is all his idea. All his work, all we do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. Folks, this applies today, doesn't it, to the people you come in contact with? This is the gospel. He's telling it to these recently saved Jews. He's explaining it to him, but it's appropriate today. All we have to do is trust him enough to let him do it. It's God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging about all that we've done. No, We neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. This is an explanation of the gospel. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work that he does. The good work he's already gotten ready for us to do. Work we had better be doing. He said, God has a wonderful plan for your life. That's what he's saying. He's laying it out. Hey, but don't take any of this for granted. He warns these old, once dead Jews, these once old dead pagans, these once old dead Catholics, these once old dead Baptists, once old dead Methodists. It is only yesterday that you were outsiders to God's ways. You had no idea of any of this. Didn't know the first thing about any way God works. Hadn't the faintest idea of Christ. You folks, do you know anybody like that today? You know anybody like that today? Like, go back there, Johnny. I got to read that again. But don't take your salvation for granted. Because it was only yesterday that you were an outsider to God's ways and you had no idea of any of this. You didn't know the first thing about the way God works. Hadn't the faintest idea of Christ. You knew nothing of that rich history, God's covenants and his promises in Israel. Hadn't a clue about what God was doing in the world at large. Now, because of Christ dying that death and shedding that blood, you were once out of it altogether. Now you're in on everything. God, this is good, isn't it? The Messiah has made things up between us. Watch. So that we're now together on this, both non-Jewish outsiders and Jewish insiders. He tore down that wall we used to keep each other at a distance. He repealed that old law that had become so clogged with fine print and footnotes that it hindered people more than it helped them. He started over, called it a New Testament. Instead of continuing with two groups of people, separate, Christians and Jews, instead of continuing with two groups of people separated by centuries of animosity and suspicion, he created a new human being, a fresh start for everybody. Boy, it's powerful, isn't it? See, Christ brought us together, he's telling these recently saved Jews. He brought us together through his death on the cross. The cross got us to embrace, and that was the end of our hostility. Christ came and preached peace to the outsiders and peace to the insiders. He treated us as equals. So we're equals. Boy, I'll do something to your theology, won't it? Through him, we both share the same spirit and have equal access to the Father. I hate to tell you this. There ain't nothing special about a Jew. That's plain enough, isn't it? You're no longer wandering exiles. This kingdom of faith is now your home. It's in you. You're no longer strangers or outsiders. You belong here in the kingdom with as much right to the name Christian as anybody else. God's building a home. Scroll up, please. He's using us all, irrespective of how we got here and what he is building. It doesn't matter whether you were saved last week or saved 30 years ago, you're part of the team. Wow. He used the apostles and the prophets for the foundation. Now he's using you, fitting you in brick by brick, stone by stone, with Christ Jesus as the cornerstone that holds all these parts together. Man, this is deep. We see it taking shape day after day. A holy temple built by God. All of us build it into a temple in which God is quite at home. This body of Christ. So I think I could go on. I'm not going to go on. It's nothing more than an explanation of the gospel to people who didn't understand. And probably still don't understand it even after they heard it. But it's apropos to us today. And I hate to bring it around back to this, but I'm going to say it. There ain't nothing special about no Jew. Sorry. I'm sorry. And he tried to make it as clear as he could. He's talking to guys who used to be Jews. He said, he ain't Jews anymore. Hey, you ain't special. Huh? Nope, nope, nope. Sorry. Nope, nope, nope. You know, the blood of Jesus. Now, it's not about Judaism, Moses, and the Ten Commandments and the laws. Those are all good, but it ain't about that anymore. You've been adopted in. You're now part of this whole thing. Let's build the kingdom. Wow, huh? You can disagree if you want to. That's from the Holy Spirit. Come on in. Oh, I got more stuff to talk about. Come on in. Somebody save me. I've rattled on here for 40 minutes. Christ in you. The hope of glory. Christ in you. The hope of glory. I thought we had to go to heaven to see Christ. No. No, he's a life-giving spirit. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead now dwells inside me. It dwells inside you. We are the temple of God. How do we get so messed up? Everywhere I go, Christ goes. Everywhere I go, he's in me. It's not going to some church, building a church, building another temple. Kevin, come on in.
You said you got more.
Here, hang on. Go ahead.
You said you got more in you. Come on, let's keep on riding. Keep on riding.
No, because I'm gonna see. Teaching is ineffective if you don't get the revelation. If you don't get the revelation from the Holy Spirit, then the teaching hasn't been effective. And one of the things that we're dealing with is years and years and years and years and years of, dare I say it, evil men crept in unaware, changed the truth of God into a lie. Bring up Jude in the Message Bible. Uh-oh, somebody going to get nervous. There he goes again. He's not even in the Bible anymore. Go on, pull it up there, Jude. Hey, I, Jude, am a slave to Jesus Christ and brother to James. Who is Jesus? Don't get me wrong. Writing to those loved by God, the Father, called and kept safe by Jesus Christ. Relax. Everything's going to be all right. Rest. Everything's coming together. Open your hearts. Love is on the way. Dear friends, I've dropped everything to write you about this life of salvation that we have in common. I'm writing to insisting, begging you that you fight with everything you have for this faith entrusted to us as a gift to guard and cherish it. What has happened is that some people have infiltrated our ranks. Prosperity postures. Our scriptures warn us that this would happen. Who beneath their pious skin are shameless scoundrels. Folks, these are church folk. Their design is to replace the sheer grace of our God with sheer license, which means doing away with Jesus Christ, our one and only master. And I'm laying this out as clearly as I can, even though you once knew all this well enough, shouldn't need reminding. Here it is in brief. The master saved people out of the land of Egypt. We just read that. Later, he destroyed those who defected. And you know the story of the angels who didn't stick to their post, abandoning it for other dark missions. But they are now chained and jailed in a black hole someplace until Judgment Day. And Sodom and Gomorrah, which went to sexual rack and ruin, along with the surrounding cities that acted just like them, are another example, burning and burning and never burning up. They serve still as a stock warning. And this is exactly the same program of these latest infiltrators, dirty sex, rule and rulers thrown out, glory dragged in the mud. Boy, it's good, isn't it, huh? The archangel Michael, who went to the mat with the devil as they fought over the body of Moses, wouldn't have dared level him with a blasphemous curse, but he simply said, no, you don't. God rebuke you. God's going to take care of you, dude. But these people sneer at anything they can't understand. By doing whatever they feel like doing, living by animal instincts only, they participate in their own destruction. Can you say Washington, D.C. government? I'm fed up with them, he said. They've gone down Cain's road. They've been sucked into Balaam's error by greed. They've canceled out Korah's rebellion. These people are eyesores at your love feasts as you worship and eat together. They give me a black eye, carousing shamelessly, grabbing anything I didn't nail down There are puffs of smoke, gusts pushed out by gusts of wind, late autumn trees stripped clean of leaf and fruit. Talking about people in the church, doubly dead, plucked up by the roots, wild ocean waves leaving nothing on the beach but the foam of their shame, lost stars in outer space on their way to the black hole. Enoch, oh, what? The seventh after Adam prophesied of them, says, look, the master comes with thousands of holy angels to bring judgment against them all, convicting each person of every defiling act of shameless sacrilege, of every dirty word that they've spewed, of their pious filth. There's the love of Jesus for you. They're complainers, bellyachers, grabbing for the biggest piece of the pie, talking big, saying anything they think will get them ahead. But remember, dear friends, that the apostles of our master, Jesus Christ, told us this is to happen. In the last days, there will be people who don't take these things seriously enough. They'll treat them like a joke, make a religion of their own whims and lusts and prosperity gospels. These are the ones who split churches, thinking only of themselves. There's nothing to them. No sign of the Spirit. But you, dear friends, Kevin Van Story, you build yourself up in this most holy faith by praying in the Holy Spirit, straight, staying right at the center of God's love, keeping your arms open and outstretched, ready for the mercy of our Master Jesus Christ. This is the unending life, the real life. You are a spirit, you live in a body, and you possess a soul. Go easy on those who hesitate in the faith. Go after those who take the wrong way. Be tender with sinners, but not soft on sin. The sin itself stinks to high heaven. And now to him who can't keep you on your feet. I'm sorry. And now to him who can keep you on our feet, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, standing tall in his bright presence, fresh and celebrating, to our own one God, our only Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Master, be glory, majesty, strength, and rule before all time and now until the end of time. Amen. That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And everything he said in there is true. Evil men crept in unaware, and they've changed the truth of the gospel into something else. And that's what we're dealing with. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth. Me, the temple. Me, you, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Everywhere I go, the Holy Spirit goes with me. Wouldn't it be something if every once in a while you let him speak? Every once in a while, you open up, you shut your mouth and open your mouth and let him speak. Wouldn't that be something? Maybe share the gospel a little bit. Rebuke people that need to be rebuked. Stand on the truth. You are his vessel through which he speaks. But evil men crept in unaware and told us that we're supposed to love everybody and don't judge anybody and don't say anything mean to everybody. And Jesus is love. Oh, it's so obvious to me. Come on in, Vinny.
On earth as it is in heaven.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Right?
How can that be? We're his ambassadors.
Yeah.
We're his ambassadors.
Amen.
As a football coach, you know why people sent their kids to me? To learn to play football. Right? Are you a Christian? Well, they're sending people to you to learn how to be Christians. But sadly, we don't really know what that means. We make it about rules and regulations and do this and do that. No, it's an issue of the heart, folks. Christianity is an issue of the heart. The heart is deceitfully wicked above all things. Who can know it? You can think you're doing... Oh, man. Lord, don't let me say something I shouldn't say. I'm going to say this. I get the willies around legalistic religious Christians. Somebody give me an amen. Somebody give me an amen. Fucker-faced, pickled Jew Christians. They give me the willies. Because, hey, you can't righteous your way You can't self-righteous your way into the kingdom, boys and girls. You can't do it. You just can't do it. Huh? Huh? Why? Because your heart's deceitfully wicked above all things. Man, I've gone, this has been a monologue. I'm sorry. Come on in. I want to hear from you. Betty.
Yeah, usually if I'm around people like that, it's discernment and it says, get out of there. Get out of there as soon as possible.
Yep. I don't feel comfortable. I don't feel, it's not I don't like them. It's not that, what? No. They don't get it. They don't get it. They've been trained in religion. Uh-oh, not in righteousness. They've been trained in religion. And you all know this, right? I don't care who the Christian is you run into. They think their church is the best. Huh? Oh, come on. It's okay. It's okay. And so that's the gospel, Trent. That's Ephesians 1. You were a sinner. Christ saved you. Be one. Huh? But you better be careful because there are folks out there who are going to be wearing the same uniform, but they're infiltrators. They're teaching you stuff that isn't true. That's what I read Ephesians to be. By the way, go quickly. Number two, Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage and people imagine a vain thing? Because the kings of this earth have set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against the anointed. And you don't think that Satan invaded the seminaries? You don't think Satan said, look, Satan comes as an angel of light. So if he can't get you to follow rules and regulations, maybe he can get you to follow the prosperity gospel. Come to church here. We'll teach you how to get healthy, wealthy, and wise. And the next thing you know, you're worshiping money and stuff. It was subtle. It was, oh, you're still Christians. You're still raising your hand, thanking God for all your money and all the stuff you got. But you won't open your mouth and share the gospel with anybody outside the safe confines of your church. I know I'm stepping on some toes. I'm just telling you the truth. I'm just telling you. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Liberty, not bondage, man. Wow. Whew. It's been building in me a while, man. It's been building in me. And I know this. I ain't got it all figured out. I don't. But I know that's wrong. And I know that's wrong. And I know that's wrong. Why? Because the Lord gave me discernment. He gave me the ability to discern. Yeah, I can tell right from wrong. I don't always do it. No, I sure know it. Come on in, Paul.
Hey, Coach. Yeah, I just posted. I kind of went in on their AI and I asked about bioresonance. You know, the truth and medicine, right? Of course, we buy all the COVID stuff, but this is what they say. I kind of posted it. But you're right, Coach. I've been in medicine a long time, and it's hard. I don't know the truth anymore.
No.
And I just cannot believe when men are talking.
Because Paul, again, evil men have crept in unaware. They snuck in there and they've told us stuff that just is not true.
Right. I mean, I know, Coach, you know, I went to a junior seminary and I had a problem with a priest, right?
Right, right.
It's not just him. It's everybody around him that lets him get away with what they were doing.
So, Paul, what if there was a call on your life to go do that and you were hindered? You were hindered and didn't even know you were hindered when you did it. And the whole time the Lord's kept you from doing what you know you were called to do.
No, I've done it anyway, Coach. That's why I got blown away in New York, Coach. Yeah. I really believe it was a spiritual thing.
Because you speak truth, right? You speak truth.
Amen. I think
so. You speak truth to power. which was the John the Baptist spirit. And Jesus said there wasn't anyone ever born unto man, greater than old John the Baptist. Because why? He spoke the truth to power. And I'm going to tell you this. You speak the truth to power, you're going to get yourself in some serious trouble. Amen. By the way, that's what our Savior did, wasn't it? Didn't he speak truth to power? I think so. Come on, man. I feel like I'm hanging out there all by myself. Did I make you mad today? I'm making you mad. I'm not trying to make you mad. I'm there last night at that event, and God bless those people. God bless them. God bless them for their willingness to serve the needy. Don't we have an obligation to protect the innocent, to keep them from becoming homeless, to help them, keep them from becoming destitute, to keep them from becoming poor, to keep them from following? Don't we have that too? And that's the hardest part. That's not the hard. Isn't it better? An ounce of prevention, my mom would say, is worth a pound of cure. Isn't it better to train them in righteousness than try to repair them afterwards? See, they've scared us. They've scared us back inside our churches. We're not earnestly contending for the faith. We aren't anymore. And we have to understand this, that evidently there is a contention. Evidently there is a war going on. Because Paul, we just read about it, said, to earnestly contend for the faith, which was once given to the saints. By the way, contend. Rocky, there could have been a contender. You could have been a contender. They told you not supposed to. Love everybody. Go along to get along. That's why we're in the mess we're in. Roger, come on in.
Yeah, Coach. John 3:21. Says, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God.
Amen.
So truth is not something that we just believe. Truth is something that is done through us, that we get
out. Not only that, Roger, he is the truth.
Yeah.
He's the truth, right?
For truth to be valid, it has to be done in obedience.
Man, oh man, oh man. For truth to be effective, it must be spoken. It must be followed. It must be obeyed. And you can follow falsehood if you want to. You can. Mm-hmm. Hey, folks, come on. You looking at me? You think I couldn't build a name it, claim it church? I don't know if you figured out this. I'm a motivational guy, man. I could tell you all kinds of lies, fill the church, make you give me all kinds of money, and ignore everything else that's going on in our community. I could build campuses. I could have campuses everywhere, and they would be teaching homosexuality in the school, and I wouldn't have anything to do with it. Because if I did anything with that, I would lose some of the people who, by the way, were preaching a Jesus loves everybody message. Coach, you can't go criticize those. What? You with me? You understand how subtly evil men? Satan comes as an angel of light. It looks good. It sounds good. It feels good. Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you're doing the Lord's work, most times, it ain't going to feel good. Didn't feel good on him.
Hey, man, Coach.
When they arrested him, it said all men deserted him. He was standing alone at the end. Oh, yeah, he was. He didn't have a crowd gathered at the end. Oh, man.
If you don't offend anybody, Coach, you'll have a mega church.
That's right. Betty, I don't offend them on purpose. I don't offend people on purpose. But I have an unction. The scripture says you have an unction. Are you ever sitting in, be careful what I say. Have you ever been sitting in a room when that's all you can do to keep your mouth shut? All you can do to not say anything, right? That's called an unction. You have an unction. And I think we would be a lot better if we often obeyed that unction, especially if it's from the Holy Spirit. And if you don't know whether the unction is from the Holy Spirit or not, dude, my sheep hear my voice, and another voice they will not hear. Hear means to obey. Got that? I hear all those voices. I don't obey them all. I got another voice I do. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday.